Shalom. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I'm taking a moment to share some important information about Congregation Shema Yisrael. We're following the leading of the Holy Spirit to purchase a new facility for our congregation in the heart of the Jewish community of Rochester, New York. We've experienced several miraculous confirmations that this purchase is God's plan to make us more effective in our outreach to the Jewish community here. Our previous facility has been sold, and we are meeting in rented quarters until we close on the new facility at the end of 2020. Through the generous donations of our regular attenders, we've raised a significant part of the funds that will be needed to close, but we also need your help. If you've been blessed by our podcast, please pray for us and ask the Lord, what do you want to do through me to accomplish your will for Congregation Shema Yisrael? If you pray this prayer and do what God leads you to do in faith, we will succeed in purchasing this facility and become much more effective in reaching the Jewish people of Rochester with the life-saving good news of Messiah Yeshua. To participate, please visit shematime.org. That's shematime.org, where you can learn more about this amazing move of God and support us by clicking the donate button. Thank you, and may the Lord richly bless you as you listen to this podcast.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Shabbat Shalom. The title of today's message is a question we should all ask ourselves from time to time. What am I expecting? Expectations are a normal part of life. We all have them. I got this joke about expectations from cleanjokeoftheday.com. Reaching the end of a job interview, the human resources person asked a young engineer fresh out of MIT, "And what starting salary were you looking for?" The engineer said, "In the neighborhood of $125,000 a year, depending on the benefits package." The interviewer said, "Well, what would you say to a package of 5 weeks vacation, 14 paid holidays, full medical and dental, company matching retirement fund of 50% of salary, and a company car leased every 2 years, say a red Corvette?" The engineer sat up straight, very much energized. "Wow, are you kidding?" The interviewer replied, "Yeah, but you started it." We refer to expectations as high when we're expecting something good and low if we're expecting nothing or something bad. Depending on circumstances, our expectations can result in a variety of emotions, including exhilaration, joy, happiness, satisfaction, disappointment, depression, frustration, anger, or even a crushed feeling. When we have high expectations, that is, we expect good things and we get what we expect, we are usually satisfied and sometimes happy or joyful. When we have high expectations and get nothing, we're disappointed or depressed. And when we have high expectations and get bad things, we can feel crushed. When we have low expectations and get nothing or bad things happen, we can feel less crushed than when we have high expectations. And if we have low expectations and actually get good things, we can feel exhilarated. The point is that the people or circumstances by themselves don't determine our emotions. Our expectations influence the emotions we experience from people or circumstances. There are four areas of expectations we generally have: expectations of circumstances, of other people, of ourselves, and of God. My proposition is this: because unmet expectations influence our emotions, it's important to abandon some expectations and adopt others. See, in a way, our expectations are like personal goals. We will have the same emotional reaction to interference with meeting our expectations as we do when our personal goals are interfered with. If our expectation is being blocked, we'll tend to be angry. If our expectation is uncertain, we'll tend to feel anxious, and when our expectation, we realize it's impossible, we'll tend to be depressed. Because of this, we should be careful about what we expect. You may have heard the phrase, "Expectations are premeditated resentments." Well, an article in Psychology Today suggested that this phrase should be changed to, "Unrealistic expectations are premeditated resentments." There are some expectations that are beneficial and that serve a good purpose. The trick is to know which expectations we should abandon and which we should keep. In general, we should abandon positive or high expectations if they are unreasonable, uneducated, uncommunicated, or uncertain. Let's briefly look at each one of these and see why we should abandon them. Unreasonable high expectations are formed when we choose to believe that something unlikely will happen. They're unrealistic. We can form unreasonable high expectations by making assumptions about something or someone. Often the expectation is made without thinking thoroughly through. Some examples of unreasonable high expectations would include expecting an infant to not cry or to sleep through the night, expecting a toddler to speak fluent English, or expecting that hurting or insulting others will not have a negative impact on our relationship with them. Uneducated high expectations are formed when we don't have enough knowledge about a person or circumstance, but have expectations of the person or circumstance. Uneducated high expectations are often unreasonable. Some examples of uneducated high expectations would include expecting goods or services to be at or below a certain cost, even though you've never checked out the cost. Expecting certain behaviors from people that you don't know anything about. According to John A. Johnson, PhD, in the article in Psychology Today entitled The Psychology of Expectations, the problem of expectation occurs when we expect something to happen without good reason for the expectation. If I believe that my expectations alone will bring me what I want, I am using magical thinking and setting myself up for disappointment. Uncommunicated high expectations are formed when we expect something and assume that others will meet our expectations without telling them what we expect and without making sure they understand what we expect. Some examples of uncommunicated high expectations would include expecting someone to meet your needs without telling them what your needs are, expecting someone to be quiet outside of normal quiet times or behave in a manner different from what is considered normal for the circumstances. Communicating our expectations should always be two-way. That is, we should make sure the other party understands what we expect. Sometimes, when some people are upset with someone they love, they'll say, "If you loved me, you would know what was wrong." The answer is, "If you told me, I would know what was wrong." Communicating what we expect does not guarantee that our expectations will be met, but it certainly improves the chances. Uncertain high expectations are formed when we're unsure of what we should expect. Uncertainty always produces anxiety, and so we should not have high expectations about things when we have a low level of assuredness. Uncertain expectations will always result in negative emotions. The higher the level of certainty about what we expect, the greater the chances that we will be satisfied. First, there's high expectations of circumstances. The best advice I can give is do not have many high expectations of circumstances. Because circumstances are often outside of our control, having high expectations about circumstances will usually be uncertain and often unreasonable. This is especially true if the expectations are uneducated. Before forming any high expectations about circumstances, we must educate ourselves to determine the likelihood that our expectations can be met. If we do not do this, we're just setting ourselves up for disappointment, anxiety, anger, depression, and a host of other emotions. If we have expectations for pleasant weather, for example, especially in the Rochester area, we are opening ourselves up to disappointment. Now, it's not that we never have pleasant weather. On the contrary, we often have beautiful days. However, we can't be certain about the weather. In the winter, we can't even be certain to expect snow. According to weather.gov, over the past 20 years, the average snowfall has gone from 58.1 inches in the 2001-2002 season to 135.2 inches the following year. December snowfall has ranged from 2.3 inches to 46.5 inches. High expectations based on weather, good or bad, are likely to be unmet. The social distancing and closing down of the economy during the COVID-19 outbreak has resulted in many unmet expectations about circumstances. There's uncertainty about what lies ahead and how life will be in the so-called new normal, we just are not sure what to expect, and so we shouldn't have many expectations. But God can use difficult circumstances that fall below our expectations. Sometimes that's actually his plan. The late Chuck Smith, founder of Calvary Chapel, said this in his commentary on Proverbs 16-20. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Proverbs 16, verse 9. How many times our plans have been changed by the Lord? We've decided we're going to do something and God throws the monkey wrench in and stops us. I'm always sensitive to interruptions. Maybe God is trying to stop me. You know, the man who is expecting to be disturbed is the man who is never disturbed when the disturbances come. If you are open to God and you think, well, Lord, anytime I'm heading down a path you don't want, you just stop me. Therefore, I am expecting to be disturbed. Therefore, when the disturbance comes, it doesn't disturb me because my life and my steps are committed to the Lord. So we devise something in our heart, but God directs our steps. And I want it that way. I don't want to do my own will. I don't want to fulfill my own purposes. I want God to stop me whenever I'm getting out of line and doing something that isn't from him and directed by him. I want the Lord to interrupt me. I want God to disturb me. I want God to direct my steps. Very wise. God used the unexpected circumstances of the wilderness for the good of the Israelites. Deuteronomy 8 verses 1 and 2 tell us, God says, you are to take care to do the whole mitzvah that I am commanding you today so that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that Adonai swore to your fathers. You are to remember all the way that Adonai your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his mitzvot or not. Being in the wilderness for 40 years was definitely not what B'nai Israel, the children of Israel, expected when they left Egypt after God freed them from being slaves there. God was testing the Israelites in the wilderness to know what was in their hearts. Please note that God already knows what is in our hearts. He tests us so that we will know what's in our hearts and can have an opportunity to become what God created us to be. Paul found himself in difficult circumstance that was not exactly what he expected. He ended up in jail on false charges. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 21, he tells us, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually resulted in the advancement of the good news. And so my imprisonment in the cause of Messiah has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. Because of my imprisonment, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord to dare more than ever to speak the message fearlessly. Some are proclaiming the Messiah out of envy and strife, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the good news. The former proclaim Messiah not sincerely, but out of selfishness, expecting to stir up trouble for me in my imprisonment. Wow, some people were expecting Paul to have trouble because of his imprisonment. Their expectations weren't met. Paul goes on starting at verse 18. But what does it matter? Only that in every way, whether in dishonesty or in truth, Messiah is being proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will keep rejoicing. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your intercession and the help of the Ruach of Messiah Yeshua. The circumstances did not overcome Paul because his expectation was to proclaim Messiah in whatever circumstance he found himself. And so he chose to rejoice that he could carry out his expectation. He continues, starting at verse 20, my eager expectation and hope is that in no way will I be put to shame, but that with complete boldness, Messiah will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether through life or through death, for to me to live is Messiah and to die is gain. And later in his letter to the Philippians, he told the secret for thriving in any circumstance. Philippians 4 verses 12 and 13, he said, I know what it is to live with humble means and I know what it is to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of contentment, both to be filled and to go hungry, to have abundance and to suffer need. I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. Is it possible that God is trying to strengthen your faith and bring others to faith through your circumstances, even through your difficult circumstances? The secret to not being overcome by our expectations of circumstances is to place our expectations in what we are able to do through Messiah strengthening us. And sometimes God will surprise us by bringing good results to low expectations. Israel thought his son Joseph was dead, but God brought them back together. Genesis 48:11. Then Israel said to Joseph, "To see your face, I didn't expect. And look, God has let me see your offspring as well." As believers, all of our expectations will be exceeded when we enter eternity and find ourselves in heavenly circumstances. So there's high expectations of circumstances and high expectations of other people. We've all been let down when other people did not meet our expectations. Before placing any high expectations on other people, we should have a reason for expecting what we expect. We should not have uneducated expectations of others. We should know if the people are capable of meeting the expectation. If we have uncommunicated high expectations of other people, we'll increase the likelihood that our expectations will not be met. See, we have no right to expect anything from others unless they know what we expect and have agreed to it. An unusual story in the book of 1 Kings illustrates this. 1 Kings 13, verses 1 through 3. Unexpectedly, a man of God came from Judah to Bethel with the word of Adonai while Jeroboam was standing by the altar to burn incense. He cried out against the altar with the word of Adonai and said, "O altar, altar, thus says Adonai, behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon you will he sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and human bones will be burned upon you." The same day he gave a sign saying, "This is the sign that Adonai has spoken. The altar is about to be split apart and the fat ashes on it will be poured out." Now when Jeroboam heard this word, he stretched out his hand at the man of God and his hand withered. He asked the man of God to pray for healing and God healed his hand. Picking up at 1 Kings 13, starting at verse 7, "Then the king said to the man of God, 'Come home with me and have something to eat, and then I will give you a reward.' But the man of God said to the king, 'Even if you give me half your house, I will not go with you, nor will I eat bread or drink water in this place. For so I was charged by the word of Adonai, saying, You are to eat no bread, nor drink water, nor return by the way which you came.' So he took another road and did not return by the way he had come to Bethel." The man of God was so intent on doing what God called him to do that he was refusing a gift and a dinner invitation from the king, where he most likely would have had the best meal of his life and been waited on like royalty. He sure had a heart to follow God. Now an old prophet in Bethel heard about the incident and went after the man of God, inviting him to come home and eat. The man of God refused, giving the same reason he gave to Jeroboam. The old prophet gave an answer recorded in 1 Kings 13, verses 18 and 19. So he said to them, "I also am a prophet like you. An angel spoke to me with the word of Adonai, saying, Bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water." He lied to him. So he went back with him and ate bread at his house and drank water. In the end, the man of God was killed by a lion because of his disobedience to God. The man of God had uneducated, uncommunicated, and unreasonable high expectations of the old prophet. Although he didn't know the old prophet, he expected him to be speaking for God. The old prophet was actually lying about speaking for God, and this led to the death of the man of God. Having high expectations of other people is a form of trust. Yeshua was careful about who he entrusted himself to. John 2, verses 23 through 25 tell us, "Now when he was in Jerusalem for the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name, seeing the signs he was doing. But Yeshua did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all men. He did not need anyone to testify about man, for he knew what was in man." Now, does this mean we should never have any expectations about other people? No, I don't think it does. We depend on other people and they depend on us. That's the nature of the world we live in. However, it's important to be careful about the expectations we place on others. We should avoid uneducated, uncertain, uncommunicated, and unreasonable expectations about others. We should also expect that sometimes people will not meet our expectations, just as we have not always met others' expectations, and we have not met God's expectations. We should be ready to respond to being let down by others the same way Yeshua did. Luke chapter 23, verses 33 and 34 say, "When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the evildoers, one on his right and the other on his left. Yeshua was saying, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' Then they cast lots, dividing up his clothing." You know, most likely, none of us will be let down by others as much as Yeshua was. Forgiving as soon as possible prevents a spirit and a root of bitterness from growing in us and helps keep us close to God. So there's high expectations of circumstances, high expectations of other people, and third, high expectations of ourselves. I'm sure there are times when we have not met our own expectations. If we think we should somehow be perfect and never make mistakes, this is an unreasonable expectation. And while I'm not promoting being so easy on ourselves that we can get away with anything, I am saying that we can improve our attitude and actions over time. Our expectations of ourselves should be based on what we are truly capable of doing, not necessarily the results we would like to have. We may want to lose weight, for instance. If we expect to lose a certain amount of weight by a certain amount of time, that's uncertain. Many things can interfere with that. However, we can have expectations of ourselves based on things within our control. For example, we can decide to make a reasonable exercise schedule and make reasonable changes to our eating. Several years ago, I started running. I didn't have high expectations about how far I would be able to run, and I met that expectation. Over the years, as I've continued to run, I've been able to complete a couple of 5K races. I don't expect to win, but I now expect I can finish. The better we understand our capabilities, the more likely we are to form reasonable expectations of ourselves and to be able to meet them. This will eliminate negative emotions and negative self-image. The most important expectations of ourselves should be around being what God wants us to be, and that requires our cooperation with Him. Yeshua told us how to bear fruit. John 15, verses 4 and 5, he says, "Abide in me, and I will abide in you. The branch cannot itself produce fruit unless it abides on the vine. Likewise, you cannot produce fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." Verses 7 and 8, he says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. In this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Continually living as disciples of Yeshua will cause us to grow, so that we can have greater and greater expectations of ourselves to be the children of God that He wants us to be. We can also expect that our minds will be influenced by what we do. Paul said in Romans 8, verse 5, "Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Ruach, the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Ruach." We can expect to want more of what we are choosing to do. Paul also contrasted the deeds of the flesh from the fruit of the Ruach. Galatians 5, verses 19 to 21 say, "Now the deeds of the flesh are clear: sexual immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, witchcraft, hostility, strife, jealousy, rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, just as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit God's kingdom." He continues, verses 22 to 24, "But the fruit of the Ruach, or Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Messiah have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." As believers, we want the fruit of the Ruach, the Spirit, active in our lives. Just before giving the contrast between the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Ruach, Paul told us how to keep from being controlled by the flesh. Galatians 5, verses 16 through 18. "But I say, walk by the Ruach, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Ruach, but the Ruach sets its desire against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you cannot do what you want. But if you are led by the Ruach, or the Spirit, you are not under the law." If we expect that we will have the fruit of the Spirit without walking by the Spirit, our expectation is unreasonable, and we will most likely be disappointed in ourselves. However, when we choose to consistently walk by the Ruach, doing what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do, we can expect that we will not carry out the desires of the flesh, and we will walk more and more by the Spirit. So there's high expectations of circumstances, high expectations of other people, high expectations of ourselves, and high expectations of God. High expectations of God are the safest expectations to have as long as they are not uneducated. God has revealed himself in the written word of the Bible and in the living word Yeshua. If we have uneducated high expectations about God, it's because we have not devoted enough time to study and understand his word. The devil wants nothing more than to keep us uneducated about what to expect from God. Anything we expect from God that is contrary to his will and his word is unreasonable. I once heard someone say, "I expect to live forever. So far, so good." Well, that expectation is sure to come to an end. Some people expect God, for instance, to answer any prayer, but that concept is not found in Scripture. There are no uncommunicated expectations regarding God. He has communicated his expectations to us clearly, and he has told us what we can expect from him. There is no reason to have uncertain expectations about God, because he doesn't change and he doesn't conceal who he is. So maybe you're wondering, what can I expect from God? Well, I'm so very glad you asked. What we can expect from God depends on how we choose to believe in him and how we live. There are so many expectations that we can have of God that we can't possibly cover them all now, but I'd like to talk about a few of the important ones. See, David had high expectations of God. Psalm 62, verses 6 through 9, he says, "My soul waits in stillness only for God, for from him comes my expectation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my strong tower. I will not be moved. On God, my salvation and my glory is the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart in his presence. God is our refuge, Selah." God told us what we could expect when we obey him. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 2, he says, "Now if you listen obediently to the voice of Adonai your God, taking care to do all his mitzvot that I am commanding you today, Adonai your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. then all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you listen to the voice of Adonai your God. Now, there's not time to list all the blessings here. You can look them up. But they are personal and corporate and involve health, safety, and economy. God also told us what to expect if we turn away from what he tells us to do. Deuteronomy 28 verse 15 tells us, "But if you will not listen to the voice of Adonai your God, to take care to do all his mitzvot and statutes that I am commanding you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." Again, there's not time to list all the curses here, but they also are personal and corporate and involve health, safety, and economy. What we can expect from God is very simple. When we keep his commands, we will be blessed, and when we do not keep his commands, we will not. Now, God gave many commandments to the Israelites, but Yeshua summarized them during a discussion with the Pharisee. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the Torah?" asked the Pharisee. And he said to him, "You shall love Adonai your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The entire Torah and prophets hang on these two commandments." When we love God and our neighbor, we can expect blessings, and when we do not, we can expect curses. It's just that simple. Because Yeshua is our Kohen Gadol, our high priest, who understands us, we can also expect that we will find mercy and help when we approach his throne. Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16 tell us, "For we do not have a Kohen Gadol who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all the same ways, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near to the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help in time of need." When we fall short of God's expectation for us by sinning, we can expect that God will forgive us when we confess to him. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells us, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." And we can expect that God will remove our guilty conscience when we draw near to him. Hebrews 10, verses 21 through 23 tell us, "We also have a Kohen Gadol, high priest, over God's household. So let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and body washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the unwavering confession of hope, for he who promised is faithful." We can also expect that God will save us and continue to work in our lives as we follow him. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10 tell us, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not based on deeds, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua for good deeds, which God prepared beforehand so that we might walk in them." And we can expect we will never be separated from God's love. Paul tells us in Romans 8, verses 38 and 39, "I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Messiah Yeshua our Lord." Our expectation from God is delivered through his Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, Luke tells us that after Yeshua rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples for 40 days, speaking about the kingdom of God. Yeshua gave his disciples expectations about the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, verses 4 through 9 tell us, "Now while staying with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father promised, which he said, 'You heard from me.' For John immersed with water, but you will be immersed in the Ruach HaKodesh not many days from now." See, Yeshua clearly told them what to expect, the Ruach HaKodesh, or Holy Spirit. But they were still expecting Yeshua to be the earthly ruler of Israel. So when they gathered together, it continues, they asked him, "Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time?" He said to them, "It is not your place to know the times or seasons which the Father has placed under his own control." Then Yeshua further clarified and educated them about what they should expect, picking up in verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and through all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, while they were watching, he was taken up in a cloud, and a cloud received him out of their sight. This led up to the Feast of Shavuot, or Pentecost, that we're celebrating tomorrow. This was the day the law was given to Moses, and the Ruach HaKodesh, or Holy Spirit, was poured out on Yeshua's disciples. Yeshua's followers gathered together, expecting the Holy Spirit. What are you expecting? Are you expecting God to pour out his Holy Spirit on you so that you can have the power to be his witness? I'd like to pray for God to give us proper expectations and the Ruach HaKodesh. Dear Heavenly Father, please reveal to us any unreasonable, uneducated, uncommunicated, or uncertain expectations that we have of circumstances, others, ourselves, or you. Please help us to abandon them and replace them with the expectations that you want us to have. Give us greater understanding of you and your word. Pour out your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, on us so that we can be the children that you want us to be and can have our expectations met through you. In the precious name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen.